Well, once again, we are together with a very exciting guest that knows not only about real estate and investing in general and making a better person out of yourself, but also who is really interested in the wonderful world of artificial intelligence. And his name is Tony Neumeyer. Welcome, Tony.
Easy for you to say, Ozzy. Yeah.
Well, Tony is very interesting in that he's an author, he's a publisher, and an investor, a multi-investor in real estate and the stock market. And 10 years ago, he put out a book which he called The 7-Minute Millionaire, How to Think Yourself Rich. That was already 2014, and that was a bestseller. I know that in our groups, everybody couldn't wait to get a copy on it. And now that you've always been investing in real estate and in the stock market, and you're always looking for tools, I know you were an early adopter and in your laptop computer, just like me. I couldn't wait to get one. I used to play the games with the stick man. You know, this was the big deal then, you know. So
yeah.
But the you've been following the whole world of artificial intelligence, and you came up with a book 6 months ago, and you called it the Generative AI for Beginners Playbook, and which was a practical, simplified, step-by-step application to about just about anything you could imagine. And it was meant to sort of a beginner's guide. Well, now you're working and have just launched actually a teacher's guide to streamlined workload. Well, the teachers will be really thanking you both. My son-in-law is a teacher, and a lot of my friends are in the teaching profession. So now we're talking ethical practice and personalized learning to boost student engagement. Ha! When the way I was a student, it was very difficult to be engaged. So what has inspired you to write that book?
Well, okay, so when I started, as you mentioned, I've sort of been an early adopter of technology of all sorts for a few decades. And I just was really interested in this AI thing. I've been looking at it now for a number of years and thought, well, you know, I wrote another book, and I hadn't written a book in a while. And I thought, well, I want to write a book. And I thought, you know what? Generative AI is really a hot topic right now. And so I jumped on that and created this one for beginners. And it really took off, and it's really doing well. And I've gotten a great deal of feedback on it. And largely, I've learned that there are a number of areas that people are looking for in-depth sort of review, if you will, and teachers was one of them. And I've got a grandson now, and so I started researching what teachers can use for their classrooms to streamline what they're doing, and came up with a whole number of different platforms. In fact, I've reviewed over 50 platforms in the book, and within the book, you've also got a link to this report that details these 50 platforms. But so I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to write this book for teachers, and it's now launched. And so it's The Art and Science of AI in Education. And that's the main title. And so just to clarify too, although my name is Tony Neumeyer, it's actually, I use my pen name for the two AI books, Branson Adams. So if you can research that or search that name, and it'll come up under Branson Adams.
Not so he is the AI guy, is he?
That's right, yeah.
Well, how
I put on my Branson Adams suit, you know, like James Bond or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, how can AI help teachers personalize the learning for students that have sort of diverse needs and abilities in every classroom?
That's a good question, because that's one of the beauties of AI. There are many different platforms, actually, that adapt in real time to the challenges that students are facing. If they're excelling, these platforms will actually create more complicated, difficult questions, more difficult assignments for them. But for those that are struggling, the AI can help prompt the student and help them learn at a more, at a slower pace in different ways too, because some people, as you probably know, I mean, are audio learners, and other people like to read. Some people are more visual, and AI can adapt in a variety of ways to help kids and even adults learn all sorts, whether it be writing, math, or even art and other things, just by the platform acknowledging or understanding where the struggles are and where their strengths are. The other really amazing thing is there are platforms that are VR and AR. So in other words, virtual reality or augmented reality.
Yeah.
And just think about this. Let's say you're in a history class and you want to teach the kids about the Civil War. What if they actually are on the battlefield in during the war itself? I mean, the impact on a student can literally be profound. And so, this AI ability for it to personalize what the student needs is really powerful and highly varied depending on the platforms they're using.
So that the top practical artificial intelligence tools the teacher can start using immediately, are they available or are they?
Yeah, there are a whole bunch of them available, and they range in what they do. Like for example, there's one called Dreambox, there's one called Khan, Khan, and that gets those two will actually, speaking of personalized learning, those will help get teachers started with the personalized learning right away. Gradescope, for example, that helps with grading written assignments, helps the teacher actually, helps them with reduce their workload on marking papers. And Blackboard, that helps with providing online assignments, also communication to students and parents. And one of the beauties is these platforms create a great deal of more interactive communication directly with the teacher and with the AI. And the parents can actually be much more involved with their students' learning as well as they move through the whole, the different types of AI that are available.
Well, they'll have to go through a real learning curve though first.
Well, there, that's a good point you bring up, because some of these platforms are very intuitive and don't take a great deal of learning of a learning curve, but there are some that definitely will require more time on the teacher's part in particular to learn. But the beauty of it as well is that most of these platforms recognize that there is a learning curve, and they provide very detailed training to the teacher on how to use the specific parts of that platform. And so it makes it really easy for the teacher at their own pace to implement and learn how to use the different platforms.
Well, it's kind of amazing. I mean, you talk about a teacher's workload. Teachers, they have large classes and seems to be larger and larger classes. And you can it help with grading and administrative tasks and all of those kind of grunging
things? Absolutely. Yeah, and I mentioned Gradescope, and that's a really good starting point for teachers. But there are others as well, and that'll grade tests. They'll streamline their workload. They'll actually help create exams. It'll help teaching with teaching lessons or creating teaching lessons for them, overviews or as detailed as they want. So that's as well. The AI can be adaptive for the teacher in addition to for the student, because the teacher may say, "Oh, just give me an outline for a lesson," or maybe give me the whole lesson. And so it can go more in depth if that's what you need, or it can be a little later if you prefer that. So Gradescope is one, but there are several as well.
Well, that's what I like about the fact that you've written a book. So I can read the book and get a little assessment of what each program does, because you can go on the internet now and you get more people talking about AI, but they all have either a specialized niche only, and very few that I've seen aimed directly at teachers. The other thing is, too, that the teachers themselves, they probably have some misconceptions about using AI in education. You feel, are the students going to cheat on the exams or all sorts of different things? There may be some misconception. How does your book help them?
Well, one of the biggest misconceptions that I think teachers have is that AI is going to replace them. And
it's not a bad thought when you look at a lot of other jobs.
Well, there's some teachers, maybe that's true, but the majority of teachers are really want to help and do their job to help students learn. And AI is there to augment teaching, not replace them. It actually because of the way the AI can work, it gives the teacher more time to focus on the interaction with students. And I go through a number of examples in the book of how teachers are using AI. And it really is something that it really is an augmentation to their teaching. And they're able to do more in their classes with their students and have less stress.
Well, and that's always the question. Is AI going to take over, apart from the fact replacing me? But what about interaction with the students themselves? How does it help?
Well, absolutely, because now the teacher, as I said, has more time, and the teacher can also, because of the types of reports that AI will create, it allows the teacher now to focus on the challenges that some students may be having. And it also gives the teacher the specifics on how to challenge those that need to be challenged more. And so it's more, the platforms for teachers are more than, and for students are more than just answer this question or do this lesson. They can actually be very helpful in terms of reporting on the progress of the students and help the teacher focus and hone in on the particular needs of each student and spend more time doing it.
Well, there's also going to be a whole lot of new things going to be coming around, things that we don't even think about, that because of AI, what about ethical consideration? You know, what about the privacy rights on particular students and all of those kind of things? Are they covered?
Absolutely. And you know, I get into that. And one of the main things with regards to privacy is, of course, you want to have the highest of security protocols. And most of the top quality and all the ones that I focused on all have top level security protocols. In addition, what you can do or what the teacher can do if they want to take it a step further is they can actually separate the student records from the report record, so that the name and information is not linked to that record. The teacher will have a key of sorts that allows them to then match which student is with which report, so to speak, you know. So in the ethics part of it, you know, that comes in a variety of different forms. And, you know, you talked about the potential for students to use AI maybe when they shouldn't be, or they use it too much to write a full report. Well, these platforms can pick up on AI-generated form or as
can't
well.
Win.
No, they're very smart.
Yeah, we're thinking smart of going back to school.
Well, and one of the other really important things to consider when you're assessing any AI, and I don't know if you heard about the story, I think it was ChatGPT, when it first came out, somebody had put in something, oh, give me a photograph of the founders of the country who, you know, wrote the Declaration of Independence. And it came back with some people's images that were just not like the images at all. They were just completely off. Yeah. And so you need to understand bias. And I go through that in the book as well. But think of it this way. It's like Giggle, like the old saying, garbage in, garbage out. And you want to have the AI learning, adaptively learning from a very vast bunch of input and knowledge. And if it becomes too focused on something, it can get a bias. And so you want to be checking those things. And so my point being here is that the teachers will, don't just plug this in and let it go. They actually want to check the work occasionally and make sure that it's coming out as it should be, so that you don't have any of those built-in biases that can creep in. They're getting much, much better though, as AI is developing here, and it's developing very rapidly. They're getting much better at eliminating a lot of the biases that were in the early stages.
Well, I was teaching, you know, we have this real estate action group, and we were just talking about AI. Primarily, we talked about ChatGPT, and that's the point I made. Think about ChatGPT as being your student. you know, it's learning, it's a pupil. And so try it, write a congratulatory letter to me as a teacher, how wonderful I am, you know, put in my name and all the wonderful things I do. And when that letter is written, actually writing a letter about me would make you feel good, you know.
Yeah.
Anyways, the point is you have this letter, now make it more professional and out comes a different version. Or now make it in point form. Now take it down from 1,200 words to 600 words. This always blows me away. How AI can go and take those 1,200 words, which are all flower and wonderful, and still in the 600 left, the essence of what you were writing is still there. And so, of course, on the teaching side, it is far more detailed and far more important because it's our kids. Okay, so let's say all the teachers are in agreement. This is what we need. What about the school doesn't have a budget?
That's an important point because, you know, some districts really are financially constrained and it is a real issue. But one of the nice things is that both Google and Microsoft have a number of different platforms for teachers that are absolutely free. IBM has Watson, which is available for free. I outline actually 12 different platforms in the report and in the book that are free. Freely available to teachers to start today and implement in their classroom. So budget doesn't have to be a constraint. Obviously, if it is, you may not be getting into the virtual reality, you know, headsets and things like that right away. But one of the big things as well is trying to get some partnerships. A lot of the big companies are very, very interested in helping schools and children and kids develop and understand and use AI. And they'll partner and sponsor a lot of different courses, a lot of different platforms into schools so that they can get some experience with them. And so it's a bit like fundraising, but, you know, it's a little more focused, of course.
Well, I think originally Apple and computer companies gave some of the computers for students to many different schools. But in the end, it's still something new, and administrators, they're already busy, and the parents, and now something new again. How do you get a strategy going that overcomes the objections of all the participants in the new world?
Yeah, I think one of the things, you know, it's probably going to be less difficult than most people think. However, there are always people that are going to have some concerns. Privacy, as we already discussed, is one of them. And so you want to be sure that you've got your privacy protocols figured out and your security protocols figured out in advance. And, you know, with the exception of some budget requirements, you know, once they understand the power of AI and how it can really interact with the students and get the students more engaged in classes and learning better and learning more, they'll usually come around pretty quickly. Typically, suggesting that you call a meeting or maybe it's during the next round of the PTA parents meeting with the teachers and so on. Start talking about it. You can get a group together of interested parties and even include some of the students as you get down the line as well, so that they have an understanding of what it is that they're trying to create and they can tell you what it is that they think will be helpful to them as well. But buy-in typically isn't that difficult as long as you sort of lay it out and have your ducks in a row and people understand what it is that you're trying to accomplish and how much benefit it really is going to be for the students in the long run.
Well, that's where the book also helps on how to prepare yourself, how to learn it all. But now the teacher says, okay, I've already got a lot to learn. I have to got all these different objectives on the school board and my bosses and so on. Okay, so now I learn this stuff, but how do I stay updated? How do I be, you know, maybe my news now in AI is really actually from 6 months ago and it seems to accelerating all the time. How do I stay updated?
You know, there are quite a number of online platforms or forums available. And this number is growing and becoming more specific too, so that there are teachers groups on Facebook that are specific for AI. There are chat boards and forums, as I mentioned. There are also newsletters. I would suggest getting on one or two of the quality newsletters about AI to stay up to date. There are, and for teachers getting started, there are a couple of different courses available. Google and MIT both offer free courses to teachers to help them get started and understand and learn what AI is all about. And so there are a number of, and the nice thing about these courses as well is most of them can be done at the pace of the teacher. So they can do it in their in their breaks, off hours, or, you know, in a timely manner that suits them. And so there are a number of things that they can do, but mainly getting online and getting involved is going to be one of the main things. And they'll find that the groups out there are really excited about what's going on and helping teachers get started in the whole realm of AI as well.
Well, that's the big thing, is get started really with everything. I think that was the point on your first book. You know, the whole idea was that we think yourself rich is really a possibility. You know, when you talk about the 7-minute millionaire, and the thing is that now with AI, a lot of us, including a lot of my friends, are a little scared of it. You know, I mean, you know, will this all, it's just, is it another burden? And what you got to get away from, and hopefully everybody gets away from this video and also from your book, of course, is, hey, it's a helper. It's an addition to make things more, not necessarily simpler, but easier, in the sense of you get things done faster, mundane things are done by actually the AI itself, and you're far more effective. And plus, your students will admire you one heck of a little more that the teacher is actually with it.
No, absolutely true. Absolutely true. And, you know, you're right. And one of the things is really just getting started. And we talked about ChatGPT, and that's a place where a lot of people go and just for the first time input something. Now, the crafting of prompts, it becomes very important as you get to know AI a little bit more, and the platform you're on too. Like I use ChatGPT quite a bit just for simple things. And then I'll use something called Perplexity. And I use that one when I'm looking for something a little more technical, has less bias. It considers itself one of the least biased platforms out there. And it'll give you resources as well that back up where it got its information from. So, you know, I think that just starting, and in the first book, I talk about going into onto one of the art generation or photo generation platforms and crafting a prompt and just creating your first picture. The first one I ever did was of a dog eating, sitting at the table, eating his food. And it was hilarious. And then I said, okay, make it a cartoon. And it made it a cartoon. Yeah. And I posted that one, I think, on my Facebook, which I'm not on very often. And it was pretty funny. So, you know, you just start to learn how to do it, trying different things. And as you say, you know, refining what you're doing. You said take 1,200 words and take it down to 600 or you know, 100 words down to 60. And when you can say, if you don't like that, you say, okay, I like this, but make it more like the spoken word, you know, or something like that. Then it'll rewrite it, and the tone of the writing will be different. So also, Ozzy, I put together a short report here for your viewers and your listeners on there's 8 AI platforms for real estate investors. And one of them here, for example, AirDNA, it specializes in short-term rental market intelligence and attracts over 10 million Airbnb and VRBO listings. It goes into the Rentalizer TM tool, and it talks about a number of different things in here. Plus, there's another one on portfolio management. It offers a comprehensive data on your analytics and risk assessment and market analysis. And that one's CoreLogic. And so I think that you're going to put a link just down here. And people can download it if they're on the listen to this on the podcast, I think they can send you a note, or I'm not sure. How do you
sure.
want to deal with that?
So just send it to me. Send oz@jurok.com, my name, and I will send you the link. But if you're on the video, it's going to be both the book. Is it out yet? I know it's.
Yeah, the book's out. Yeah.
So the book's
out. Yeah,
I've
got it on Amazon. I'll give you the links.
So we'll put the links all in there, and then also the 8 AI platforms for real estate investors. And I think that once you realize this, that, I mean, you have grouped them as property analysis and valuation platforms versus portfolio management type platforms. And it is a real help that you can simply pick one of those and say, huh, how does it apply to me as an investor with 10 properties? Or how does it apply to me as a buyer of property, and how to analyze it? So thanks for doing that. And we'll make sure that we'll highlight that. I think that everybody's got a taste of what that book is going to be like, knowing how detailed you are and how very much you are actually involved in life in terms of buying and selling real estate and in buying and selling stocks. And you're in Scottsdale, because sort of keep your time between Scottsdale and Vancouver, so you're international. So the book has got to be an absolute smashing ride. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks, Oz. I appreciate you having the interest to have me on your show, and I thank you. I hope your listeners get something out of it.
You betcha. Take care.